Okay. Hi, I'm Lee Chantel from Viva La Vegan, and today I'm here with Gary Smith from Evolutus PR Company. How are you, Gary?
Good. How are you doing?
Yeah, good, thank you. Good. So tell us about your company you've got.
Keisha and I started our company about 6 years ago.
Uh-oh. Just got a doggy chewing on the tripod at the moment.
We have a rescued beagle who's trying to get involved.
So maybe Malcolm wants to meet everyone.
Yes.
While we tell them about yours and Keisha's company.
As we talk about it. So Keisha and I started our PR agency about 6 years ago, really with like a focus on either companies or products that have to do with veganism, animal rights, working with a lot of nonprofits. We've done some work with Mercy for Animals, Beagle Freedom Project, Army,
as well. So tell us about these people you work for on the project.
Sure. If people don't know who Mercy for Animals are, they are an animal rights organization whose main focus is on undercover videos. Mm-hmm. So they are going into slaughterhouses, hatcheries, factory farms. Sorry, lost my train. Factory farms, etc., and basically capturing undercover footage of like what the reality of what's going on there.
And they put it out to the public.
And they put it out to the public themselves. And Keisha and I have now worked with Mercy for Animals on three projects. Mm-hmm. The first was E6 dairy cattle investigation, where they were horribly abusing little young dairy calves. Mm-hmm. This last one was Iowa Select, which is the fourth largest pork producer in America, where they were able to actually connect the abuse to large grocery chains and show that, they were basically selling products from here through that abuse. And we also work with them on a tour called Farm to Fridge Tour, where Mercy for Animals had a big truck with three 80-inch screens, and they basically went around to 43 cities showing their 12-minute film, which was like basically about meat, dairy, and eggs, how it was produced, mostly through their own undercover footage.
That's great. I love Mercy for Animals.
Yeah, and so what Keisha and I do, we're mostly doing media relations. So it's basically like going out to the media, telling the story, and asking them to basically cover these stories for us. So our agency for us is like an act of activism for us.
Yeah, definitely.
You know? So we are basically finding another way to educating both the media and the public about some of these issues through traditional media who either don't want to cover these issues, or some of these organizations or documentary films we worked on just don't have the experience on the kind of how to tell these stories.
And how do you actually approach people, media, with these sort of stories? It's a bit of a hard sell, isn't it?
It's an incredibly difficult sell. I mean, Keisha and I both come from high-tech PR background, where you know, you send out a press release or send out a pitch, and literally like 85% of what you send out gets written about or gets on television, whereas now when you're asking like mainstream media to actually care about animal rights issues or vegan issues, if we get 20%, we're like really excited.
Yeah.
So like from an ego standpoint, this is like a horrible way to make a living.
Yeah, a bit harder.
But I think like one of the things that Keisha and I have become better at over time, and I think that why I think we're kind of unique in what we do, is like we know how to translate these stories and these images of people. So, you know, we have our clients and this is the story they want to tell, but the media either doesn't understand that story or won't tell it.
Yeah.
So we have to sort of translate the story in a way that the media will understand.
In a more sellable way.
So like with the Beagle Freedom Project, which we can go into a little later, it's like rather than telling a story to the media like, oh my God, can you believe that they do these horrible things to dogs in these laboratories for science, the story is, wow, we rescued these beagles and check it out, this is like their first time they're ever going to be outside, they're going to have a loving home, and then they then take that story and say, well, why are they testing on them? You know what I mean? So it's like there's two totally different ways of telling that story. And if you tell the story from an animal rights vegan perspective, you have basically no chance.
Yeah.
Versus right.
Scourge.
And so it's just a way of you know, what we always explain to our clients is like it's about getting the media to get on the phone with you and to talk to you, because once they have the idea that you're an expert and that you have an expertise, they will listen to whatever you have to say.
Yeah.
So just a quick story, we were working with a young man who wanted to teach a million young people how to meditate. And he's like, okay, well, it'll make these young people more authentic, blah, blah, blah. And we're like, you can't go to the New York Times with a story about how young people are going to become more authentic.
Yeah.
That's just not, you know.
They're
but if you go
it,
and you say, it's going to help them with their family, with their relationships, with their grades, it's going to help them, you know, become calmer people, et cetera. Then when they're on the phone and they know that that person has an expertise, they're willing to listen to some of the more less than mainstream concept.
So you've got a really cool shirt on.
Oh,
Veganize LA.
It
says. So
yes.
What are your tips to not only veganize LA, but to veganize the world, Gary?
That's an excellent question.
Thank you.
You know, I would say that my first answer to that would be, first of all, each individual has to go vegan. And going vegan is not enough.
Going vegan at best
is just a first step.
Yeah.
It's not some like magical, amazing thing you've done and now you're all done.
It's the first step, you have
to be active.
Yeah.
So my thing is, no matter how uncomfortable you are with it, you have to find a way to tell people about these issues.
Mm.
And it can just be as simple as like, what are you good at?
Mm.
Like, I like to write.
Yep.
So I have a blog, I write for Elephant Journal, which is aimed at conscious people, and I use those quotes because they're not very conscious, you know, yoga, spirituality, who love to eat animals.
Yep.
If you're a great chef, there's something you can do with that. You can feed people, you can do like cookouts,
yep.
etc. But whatever talent and gifts you have can all be used for activism.
Yep.
And we just have to do it, even if it's just as simple as like showing up at a protest and being a body, because at the end, or writing a letter, or whatever that is you can do, but we have to become more active. That's just a fact. And we have to realize that no one's going to like this. What we're trying to do is really hard.
Yeah.
And it frustrates me personally to hear a lot of vegans think like, oh, if we just give people the information, they're going to change.
Yeah.
And that's just not true.
Yeah.
Every one of us has had our friends or family watch Earthlings, read Die for New America, watch an amazing Mercy for Animals undercover investigation where animals are being slaughtered and you know, just treated like shit.
And told us how great our food is.
Right, and they've eaten the food, and they're like, wow, that's really good.
Mm.
And it's just not that simple.
Mm.
And I think that, for me, the frustration is that just kind of, like, non-connected way of thinking, like, oh, if we just give people the information, things are going to change. And for me, there's multiple ways of doing this,
definitely.
Whether it's supporting direct action, whether it's doing protests, being active, giving people videos, giving people information. But I mean, for my money, I think that this idea that if we just go one-on-one, the world's going to be vegan.
Yep.
And the sad reality is, even if a few of us, if we're able to get a few people to go vegan, the reality is in terms of population growth, for every non-vegan being born, we're not moving forward.
No.
You know, and my perspective is this is a social justice movement. This is not a corporate movement. And as a social justice movement, I think we're going to have to step this up. And I think we're going to have to try and emulate things like the civil rights movement in America or the suffragette movement in America. Because again, when you look at those movements, it wasn't about going one-on-one and convincing people that African Americans should have the same rights that we do. Or it wasn't going one-on-one and trying to like explain to males that females should be able to vote in America. It wasn't about that. This was an ethical, moral issue. And we basically put pressure on the government, put pressure on these industries, and said, this has to change. And
kept at it.
And kept at it. And I'm not saying vegan education is important. Of course it is.
Yeah.
Because the reality is every one of us had some experience that changed us. You know what I'm saying? But I think it's... I don't want to sound like an asshole. I'll just be an asshole.
Just saying how I feel.
I think for my money, it's really... I'm a little bit frustrated by the idea that capitalism is going to change this. That if we just have enough vegan food products or vegan restaurants or the right vegan book, that people are just going to magically become vegan. And what I don't want this to happen to this movement, the animal rights movement, is what's happening with the green movement, where everything is greenwashing.
Yeah.
Where everything is like, you know, we're here in the middle of the sixth mass extinction, right? And global climate change is literally killing the planet and our species.
And so evident.
And so clear. And the answer from the green movement or the environmental movement is turn off the water when you brush your teeth, put in fluorescent light bulbs. And I'm not saying that doesn't do something, but we all know that unless you actually change industry from massive pollution, we're kidding ourselves. We're going to die. And in the same way where I get frustrated where vegans are like, well, if we could just get people to like eat less meat once in a while, that's not going to help 10 billion land animals and 58 billion worldwide. So I'm a little bit frustrated that like so much of this has become more about capitalism and playing in that same thing where, like, you know, again, green movement, tear out your perfectly great tile floors to put in bamboo flooring. Well, that's not green. Your floors work. Or get rid of your couch instead of recovering it for a green couch. Well, that's not green, you know. And so I think in the same way, I think we're starting to move in that direction, that we think that if we can get people to eat meat less, a little bit less once in a while, if we can just have like more food available, vegan food available, we're talking about, in the U.S., vegans are 0.5% of the population. Okay.
Gee, that's small, isn't it?
That's insane. Yeah. Just think about that. And to make it more pathetic, I just read a study that said something like 70% of vegetarians in the U.S. over a 9-year period go back to eating meat.
Mm. And then there's also, I've read some studies as well, people that call themselves vegetarian or vegan, when you actually ask them what they eat, they aren't a vegan or a vegetarian.
Right.
So that's another issue as well.
And I think, and again, and I don't want this to be totally negative, but the problem is, from the capitalism point of view, of pushing veganism as cool, hip, trendy, a marketable commodity market, is veganism becomes a diet. And anybody who's basically an ethical vegan understands that this is not a diet. That's a component of it. It's an important component of it, because we know 99% of animals are being killed for food, but we know it's also entertainment, we know that it's clothing, we know that it's experimentation, adopting animals instead of buying animals, you know, from puppy mills, etc. So again, in that sort of whitewashing, greenwashing thing, is veganism is just becoming this cute little diet. And and the problem with that is, as we were talking about a little bit earlier, you know, if you decide you're going to avoid oil for a couple of weeks, if you're a little buzzed and you have a little oil, you're just going to be like, oh, whatever. But if you're a little buzzed, you're not going to eat animal products because you're an ethical vegan. So in the same way, if we're pushing this as a diet, because we're just like, hey, we just want animals to be safe, period, which I understand that perspective, is what happens when the next cool diet comes along? Because again, if it's like, I'm avoiding gluten for health reasons, it takes discipline. If I'm avoiding all animal products because I'm an ethical vegan, there's no discipline. You understand that, right? So that's another concern I have, is that we're just pushing this so much as like the cool, hip diet, that again, what happens if you don't lose weight? What happens if you don't have tons of energy? What happens if your cholesterol isn't amazing, right? You're going to give up. Because again, you're not doing it for ethical reasons. And I understand that not everyone's going to do this for ethical reasons, but that goes back to veganism as a social justice. And the focus being that this isn't you know, a product-oriented movement, that this is an ethical and moral movement. And of course, the great question is like, okay, well, how do you do this? You know, because you're looking at three entities, really. Okay, so you have the U.S. government, probably most governments, let's just say U.S. So you have the U.S. government, who is basically funding through animal research, through subsidies, all the food products, right? Then you have these huge corporations like Monsanto and big agriculture, Smithfield, etc., who are killing hundreds of millions of animals, right? And then you have people who 99.5% in America are consuming these products in one form or another. So I don't think it's quite as simple as the civil rights movement, in the sense that like you're just basically pressuring the government to enact new laws. So I don't know exactly, I haven't quite figured that part out, but I do know that like that's something we have to try to figure out, because again, we're just not going to convert enough people to becoming vegan to make any significant change. And I understand that point of view. Every single person wants animals saved. And I'm not saying it's bad. Meatless Monday is bad per se. For sure not. But for my money, it's always about moving people towards veganism. And in terms of the way that I do my outreach is, I'm sure you've heard this a million times, like how many times have you had a vegetarian say to you, or a vegan who used to be a vegetarian, say, gosh, I just didn't know. You know, I wish I knew. And for my money, it's like, I will always tell people the truth. Now, I'm detached because I understand human behavior, that people aren't going to change. That's just not something that's going to happen for the majority of people right away.
But everyone's on their own step. They're on this, that whatever plane they're on at the moment, they'll embrace something when they're ready.
And you have to also, my money is like, I never want anybody to walk away from a conversation about veganism and saying they didn't know. Because it's all about planting seeds, you know. So when, once you plant that seed, who knows what's going to happen? They're going to get it. Or they won't. But they're never going to be able to say like, oh, I didn't realize dairy and eggs were horrible. And be a vegetarian for 20 years. You know, that's just not going to happen if you talk to me. If you do that, at least you're going to know that dairy and eggs are horrible.
Yeah.
You're not going to come away, you know. Mm. And I think what's difficult within the community is people calling you militant for promoting veganism.
Yeah.
And that's something that I find really troubling. You know what I'm saying? When you're talking to people, it's as if there's two choices. Mm. You either pet people and you say, wow, that's awesome, you're going to eat a little bit less meat.
Mm.
Or you're a horrible, angry person for telling people the truth.
Well, I like to say, for like, say, vegetarians, for example, wow, that's a great first step.
Right.
Do you know, though, that this happens,
right,
and
right.
just plant, and not try and be judgmental or aggressive, because I hate when people do that
right.
to me about anything.
Right.
So I just try and take a step back and see, when I was vegetarian, like, I was a vegetarian for 2 years before I even knew what a vegan
right, right.
was, before I even knew that I was participating in cruelty,
right.
you know, and I, as soon as I found out, I didn't want to know, but
right.
before that, I didn't know,
right.
so if someone had told me, oh, you should, rah, rah,
right.
there's no way in hell I would do it, because if
right.
someone tells me to do something, it's going to be the last
right.
thing I'm going to do.
Right. Which is human behavior,
yeah, exactly.
is to reacting us, and that, again, mm-hmm. that's why I'm saying, we can have these really positive discussions with
yeah.
people, but tell them the truth.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and I've had people say to me, like, okay, I'm going to give up something,
yeah.
and I say, that's great.
Yeah.
But remember,
yeah.
veganism is the place to be.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's funny because it's weird, like, some of the reactions I get from people. Not, I mean, not non-vegans, vegans.
Mm.
As if, like, there's just no way to do that in a respectful way. I don't, like, why can't you have a respectful conversation with somebody and tell people, this is why I'm a vegan? And I always tell them why I'm a vegan.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't say, like, why you should be, but I say, this is why I'm a vegan.
Yeah, exactly.
And I give people
make
the information
personal.
And make it personal and give them the information. And again, the one thing you will learn from a metaphysical, spiritual thing in this lifetime is that nobody's going to do anything that they don't want to do.
Yeah.
So when I see a lot of people trying to manipulate people, it's just not effective. Because,
no.
again, even if I manipulate you to do something, at some point you're going to feel manipulated.
Mm.
And you're going to make a change because you're going to eventually say, I didn't make this choice.
Mm.
Somebody manipulated
yeah.
me into that choice.
Yeah.
So again, it's like, give people information, be respectful,
yeah.
you know, and find an outlet, you know. Like, for me, I have a lot of outlets. I have my PR agency, which is, like, basically educating the public through media.
Mm-hmm.
I have Thinking Vegan, which I write for, which is trying to have a conversation with vegans about these types of issues. Like,
yeah.
how can we be more successful?
Mm-hmm.
I write for Elephant Journal, which is, again, non-vegans.
Mm-hmm.
On Facebook, sometimes I really just enjoy being an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just reality.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people seem to on Facebook, don't
yeah.
they?
Yeah. And again, that's not the number one way that I advocate.
Mm.
But, you know, so there's a lot of ways for people to do their animal rights advocating. But
yeah.
I just, you know, I mean, for my money, I so hope that we move away from greenwashing.
Mm.
And again, treat people like adults.
Yeah.
Meaning, tell people the truth.
Yeah.
Like, I'll give you an example. When we were just about to do the Iowa Select investigation for Mercy for Animals, I actually got a call from the first investigation from a reporter.
Mm.
And she was really nice, and we just kind of hit it off. And obviously, I'm not an activist when I'm doing professional
yeah.
PR for a living. So she just asked me, she's like, you know, oh, but there's got to be, like, humane slaughterhouse, right? And I said to her, oh, I'm totally willing to tell you the truth if you want.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah. And I told her the truth.
Yeah.
And she was like, wow, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Right? I was nice.
Mm-hmm.
I gave her facts.
Yep.
I gave her information.
Yep.
Right? There was nothing, like, harassing, demeaning, judgmental, etc. Again, I just gave her the information.
Yeah.
Now, I have no idea what she's done with that.
Yeah.
But she now knows there's no such thing as a humane slaughterhouse.
Yeah.
And that was, again,
which is a first step.
An opportunity.
Yeah.
And, you know, and not everybody has these, like, amazing epiphanies and make these changes.
Yeah.
But again, you know, our job is to give people the information and then allow them to do what they want to do with it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to say to somebody, go vegan, you're going to lose, like, 60 pounds. How do I know?
Yeah.
Because, again, we all know vegans who eat like crap,
yep.
who, whatever, their metabolism sucks. No matter, you know what I mean? So I think a lot of these things were, like, where it's so superficial.
Mm.
I'm like, oh, your skin's going to look really pretty, and you're going to have tons of energy. And
yeah.
it's like, I'm not saying don't do that,
yeah.
but tell people, like, animals suffer, and you can make a difference. Because,
yeah.
again, to me, it's like, there's nothing more empowering to know that the lifestyle I have is compassionate towards animals, compassionate towards the planet,
yeah.
is compassionate towards workers who
yeah.
are being abused in these
yeah.
industries, is compassionate to my own physical body, you know what I mean? And
they're all connected too, aren't
they're
they?
All, they're
and
all
some
connected.
People don't see that connection, think
right.
we only should promote one aspect,
one.
And like, say, the environment movement, or
right. right.
just animal rights and things like that, whereas I think everything's connected, and the more that you see everything's connected, the more that you can work with all these other groups or
right.
with different people. And you know, not everyone's going to be affected with animal cruelty. Not everyone's going to be affected if they have better skin or better
right.
diet. So I think, you know, from a psychological perspective, it's like find out what everyone's trigger is
right,
to
right.
get those changes to happen.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%.
Yeah.
I mean, the biggest thing I would say to people is don't have some rote package that you give to everybody.
Yeah.
People are individual, and you have to, like, listen and reflect back what they're mm. saying to you. And if somebody says to me, like, oh, I'm really interested in my health, I have that information
yeah.
as an advocate. So I give them that information, mm. and then again, I go back to the ethical argument. And it's not about not giving them that information.
Mm.
Like you said, not everybody's going to care. I mean,
mm.
like the earthlings.
Mm-hmm.
Plenty of people see earthlings and don't change at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even, they're not even affected. It's like
yeah.
mind-boggling,
yeah.
you know?
That's an intense documentary, too.
Yeah.
Like, for some people that that stuff affects, you're like, how can you not be affected?
How can you not, right? And
yeah.
and I also want to recommend the Farm to Fridge video
mm-hmm.
that Mercy for Animals did,
and
the 12-minute
12 minutes,
video.
Yeah.
It's at meatvideo.com.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the same thing there. It's, and that was honestly the Farm to Fridge tour. Oh, look who's back. Hi, Malcolm.
And yeah, that's a good little tool to
it's
get people.
It's a great things. Tool.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, the actual tour itself was incredible. We did.
That's
it was
so inspiring.
It was so successful when we did it in Santa Monica. Phil Letton, who was a tour coordinator, we were like, hey, let's go for fun. Go do this in Hollywood the next night, which we did. And watching people react to it is amazing.
Mm.
And what was so perfect about that scenario is these people are having this visceral experience, and they're literally having that, like, aha moment.
Mm.
And then there's either you or literature
mm.
to help them through it. Like,
yeah, cool.
And it's funny because there was a gentleman who was probably 6'4", 300 pounds, just enormous. And he was talking to one of our friends,
mm.
like, I can't believe this, and, you know, did a little interview for us. And he was there on vacation on Hollywood Boulevard with his family, and he came back about 20 minutes to my, you know, 20 minutes later,
mm.
my friend said, all right, just tell me the truth. Is everything in that video real?
Mm.
And my friend said, yeah, it is. Like, okay, I'm going to make a change.
Oh, wow.
And then the next night, I had somebody who was Mike Tyson's bodyguard
yeah.
in Washington, D.C. Huge,
of course, yeah.
huge guy. And he's watching the cows
mm.
with the captive gun, bolt gun.
Mm.
And he's like, what's that? And I'm explaining mm. to him. He's like, but it doesn't go into their skull. And I'm like, oh, right. You know, and only 30% of the time does it actually work.
Yeah.
There are a lot, you know. And he's like, that's it, I'm going vegan.
Mm.
And in
yeah,
his
wow.
paperback, he's literally writing down diet cheese, quinoa,
cool.
you know. And so it's like to see people
mm.
have that experience
mm.
and then to either have somebody be able to explain to them or help them
yeah.
through it and give them the vegan starter kits and give them the
yeah.
information, it's like that perfect combination
yeah.
of like
all
something
of it together.
That I hope they will
yeah.
do again in the past. But at least, like, again, people watching the video, it's 12 minutes of your time.
Mm.
They're doing something really interesting where they have like a really condensed version that's 4 minutes long,
mm-hmm.
where they basically pay someone like a dollar or two,
yeah,
and they watch
veg
it.
Fund do that,
yeah,
they?
Through
they
Veg Fund, right?
Yep.
And people are having pretty amazing experiences
mm.
through that too, because again, people just don't know.
Yeah,
it's like between the marketing, between the corporations, between people's own ignorance,
mm.
it's like nobody has any idea what's
mm.
happening. And at least this is a great step for people to see it, because for
yeah.
my money,
yeah.
It's. The pictures, it's the video
mm.
that really, I think, does it
mm.
for a lot of people.
Yeah.
It's just that, like,
you
oh my gosh.
You can't escape it. It's like in your
right.
face, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah. Well, Gary,
yes.
tell us your blog so people can check it out.
Blog is thethinkingvegan.com.
Mm-hmm.
I started that in February of 2011,
mm-hmm.
so.
Only new.
Very new,
mm-hmm.
5 months ago. My beautiful and brilliant wife, Kija, also writes for it. And the idea with that is, you know, the focus of the site is animal liberation,
mm-hmm.
Abolitionism, mm-hmm. And trying to, like, have these types of discussions. So I have something that we started called the Thinking Vegan Consortium.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the people are well-known, some not so well-known, and, like, we'll ask a question of, for instance, how does spirituality affect your veganism, or how does
yeah.
atheism affect your veganism, or what do you think about single issues versus,
mm-hmm.
you know, vegan education,
mm-hmm.
and, like, having people join that discussion.
Yeah, good.
And also too, like, I'll just kind of fun, like, Thinking Vegan pop quiz. So it'll be like,
mm-hmm.
what books have you found most effective
mm-hmm.
for people, and those types of things. But really, just to try to, like, have a discussion, talk more about, you know, ethical veganism, mm-hmm. et cetera, and have a place for vegans. And funnily enough, because I also have a Facebook page, I have a lot of vegetarians who are reading, which is really bizarre, who are literally sending me nice emails going, that's it, I'm going vegan. Mm-hmm. So it's really kind of a nice thing, because I really just anticipated it being a place for vegans. Yeah. And then I also had...
Sparring vegans as well.
Yeah, and that's a great thing. And I've also had like 6 ranchers last week.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, who are trying to explain to me, I just don't understand how nice they are to their animals, blah, blah, blah.
How would they even come across it? I wonder.
I have a feeling like one of them found out and then told their friends. You just get the same nonsense.
Maybe like on Google Alerts or something.
Probably.
Those crazy vegans.
Right. So they come in saying, you don't understand. Mm. We're like really nice. You're judging us. It's like, of course I'm judging you. I mean, I'm not going to pretend I'm not judging you. Kill animals for a living.
I disagree with that.
That's unethical.
On every level.
Correct.
Yeah.
You know, so it's been an interesting experience. So that's something that I've been doing for a while, four months now.
It's a great way to get the message out to a lot of people, anything internet-based, I think.
Yeah, and I mean, the good thing, again, is, you know, anything you write has a potential to spread, you know. And a lot of non-vegans read it, surprisingly. And then they'll share it with their friends, and, you know, and sometimes I will write something specific about, like, the circus.
Mm-hmm.
Or about wool or other things. So, you know, people can pass those along for you to do it as well.
Yeah, that's great. Well, make sure you check out Gary's blog, and you can see vivalavegan.net for more information. Thanks, Gary.
Thank you.